It's now time to breathe easier with Ted Jenkin from Oxygen Financial.
We were talking about this during the break when Ted came in, you know, with Chris Cornell. We just had Kevin Martin from Candlebox on, which was a great conversation. If you missed it, you can always go back and listen to that on BaileyandSouthside.com. But I was talking to Ted, and I'm like, you know, the man's worth $60 million. And you, as a financial advisor, you've been doing this for a minute, so you've seen this. You know, you wonder when they talk about signs of somebody taking their life, you know, not to get morbid, but I'm just curious. Like, when people come into you, not only for planning for the future, but they're also planning for the end, correct? You know, you would see that, right?
Well, it's usually one of two paths. You know, they either do a ton of planning, get everything in order, or they just literally don't care and they leave everything in shambles. And I've seen both sides of it because, unfortunately, you know, over 25 plus years, I've seen people that have passed away for various reasons. But it's either almost an all or none, you find, with a death especially like that.
Ted worked well with my in-laws and my wife without me, and they planned a really great package for Amanda when I die.
Is that something that you did not want to be a part of?
No, I want to be a part of it, but I was like, she's getting how much, Ted? But, you know, if we have
kids... You didn't
read
the clauses about how you got cut out and everything. You're not...
Like, literally cut out
for you.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing.
Like your throat cut
yeah,
out.
Yeah, pretty much. And if somebody in the family kills me, they still get paid, which is fine.
How does that work, Ted? Because I am curious. You know, like, you know, I've always understood that insurance, if you do commit suicide, like what Chris Cornell did, where does your money go?
Life insurance doesn't pay. I always heard that.
Doesn't pay, right?
Just doesn't pay.
Well, a lot of people think that. They think if you take your own life that you're not going to get any money from the insurance company, but generally they have a 2-year suicide clause, which means if you sign up for a new policy at any time, even if you get multiple policies in the first 24 months, if you take your own life, generally the insurance company will not pay you. When you pass 24 months, then they will pay you. So I don't know when he took his insurance policies, but it depends when he took them out. And if he did within the last 24 months, they're probably not going to collect. And if he took them out 10 years ago, they probably will collect.
If you had somebody come to you, you professionally and you personally, you know, because I don't know the, you know, confidentiality. I mean, I'm guessing it's just like a doctor or something you keep. I mean, it's very strict rules in your world. But if somebody, you know, we had this conversation the other day, the story of the pastor outing a guy that, you know, broke the law, and then he, you know, I was like, well, I thought that pastors don't do that. But if somebody comes to you and you see signs that they're, you know, young, Chris Cornell, 52, let's say, for example, and it's just a little weird. He's putting everything in order and asking these types of questions. Do you, you know, because you're almost like a therapist. We talk about that quite often, you know.
You're my therapist.
Do you like kind of poke and prod, or do you tell somebody about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, you don't usually see it as much when people are younger for something like this, although, you know, he was young, but you see it a lot when people are older, that people will turn 70 years old, and usually about 70 or 75, pretty much every year or two, they start to think about changing their will and which kids they do like and which they don't, and they're worried about who's married to who and, you know, how those families are turning out, and believe me, they change their wills and their minds all the time, and they shift money around. But you will see from time to time people go through struggles, and we act a lot as therapists where you can kind of get a sense about things that are happening in their life, or sometimes they'll just open up about it and say, you know, here's where I'm at. But when you see changes, Jason, to ownership in different accounts, or how people are starting to change beneficiaries, or they're shifting money around, you get a feel that something imminent is going to be happening down the road.
Wow, and you have to handle that. And like you said, you have to keep it secure.
I mean, you can't tell anybody. I mean, you know, this is sort of that confidentiality.
I play golf with Ted, and I try to get things out of him about people. I want to know more about you, Bailey, and he wouldn't give it up. I'm like, what makes Bailey tick?
Well, I think this is an interesting conversation that we're having with Ted, because usually when you come in, we're always talking about the future.
Right.
You know, and that's a certain demographic, you know.
It's like a lot of people.
You know, like, I know originally the conversation we're going to have today is talking about, you know, money for graduates and how to save. So that's talking about the younger side of things. But with this Chris Cornell thing, you know, for those that are older or those that are younger that have parents and maybe their money's all jumbled around, is that that's something, you know, you don't always plan, you not only plan for the future, but you plan for the end.
Well, take a
guy. I know it's morbid, but I mean, it's true. It's life.
No, I mean, take a guy like this. What's even more of a change, if you own a business, in this case, kind of he owned his business, and I don't know what rights he had to what, but for a lot of these athletes and a lot of people that are in the music business, there's still a business when they pass away, right? He still had his name on certain rights to records or other things like that.
Oh, so. Yeah, records will be sold. We see that all the time in the passing of an artist. Who gets that? What does his wife get? What does his ex-wife get?
Is that all through the financial guy? No, that's not. That's the management.
Well, it depends how they set up the wills here. Like, you know, a good example is a guy with a $60 million estate. I'm ballparking this. But if he just had a simple will and they didn't do any planning, which, you know, you'd always imagine that they would, they may owe the federal government in 6 to 9 months $20 to $25 million of estate tax.
Why? Explain that. Why is
that?
Well,
when you're a married couple, I'm roughing this out, you have about an $11 million exemption when you die in terms of your net worth. And then after that, you start to owe roughly 50 cents on the dollar to the federal government. So when you have a $60 million estate between your investment accounts and your real estate and your businesses that you own, on that other $49 million or so that he had in his estate, if it wasn't done right, they could end up owing $20 million of estate taxes to the government. Believe me, the government wants their money.
That's a tough check to write.
And I'm guessing that's why people usually sell off the estates, right? They get rid of it, so they don't have to do that.
Well, even if they sell it off after the fact, it's not going to matter. But it's why they start setting up trust or different entities are owned by different types of trust because that specific reason of trying to avoid paying the government a lot of money down the road.
Wow.
Yeah. There's some people that do it really well. Or you had people years ago like James Gandolfini is a great example, had a $70 million estate. He didn't have anything in place at all. They owed the government $30 million.
Yeah.
Wow. And so
I do remember that.
His family had to pay that, right?
Absolutely.
Or whoever the beneficiary of the will was.
That's
had
right.
Had to pay that.
So whether you're a guy like me with a kid and you're trying to set up a college fund or whether you think you're about to check out, you need to go see Ted at Oxygen Financial.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, man. You got to remember, a lot of people say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't even need a will. But the reality is you have one. The state of Georgia actually has one for you, and it may not be the way that you want it. And so, like Jason was saying, you'll see a lot of people that when they think something's going to happen to them or they have, you know, an illness that takes them to a point that they say, wow, I could have passed away. It's not until then that people usually start planning, like, hey, I've got to get all this stuff in place.
Yeah, I got to decide who gets my arcade games, which brother.
You didn't go through each and everything, did you?
Well, kind of. I did.
Well, I guess you have people that you like in your family.
I do. I have people. Well, I actually love them.
Yeah, I just left it all to Rage.
All right.
And then so you divvy it up. That's what you do, right, Ted? You leave it to one person.
I can.
Because you're dead. You don't give a damn. Let them divvy it up.
I know my wife, just like you know, Rachel, would do the right thing. I know that my wife would go, all right, Kevin, you're a good brother. Steve would want you to have his golden tee. And he would give it to him. She would give it to him. I hope.
You think that, but that don't happen a lot.
But what if all this? Yeah.
Money changes people, doesn't it?
It's big time. Yeah. And believe me, it doesn't even have to be a lot of money. I've seen the states that there's $300,000. And there might be three brothers and sisters, and you'd have thought that they got $30 million because the throwdown starts going down when that money gets live.
Look, my aunt passed away in the late 80s, and she didn't have a lot.
You got wicker furniture out of that, though, didn't you?
No. She had a bunch of kids, right? About like 4 or 5 kids. And there was a pair of diamond earrings, which, I mean, when I say diamond earrings, we're not talking, I don't even think they're a carat, right? And they ended up stolen. And for years, there was a sibling rivalry because, you know, money does that to people.
Steve, we get that all the time, you know, because we have parents and we have their kids as clients. And the kids will always say, I know my mom and dad probably have stuff set up for me, but I don't really care about it, but how much do they have?
can you tell me, are you on headline news this weekend?
I'm not this weekend.
Okay,
no,
you're off.
Not this weekend.
All right.
But how can people find you, Ted?
Hey, look, if this is a concern, you got to figure out how to plan your estate, get your beneficiaries set up, go to oxygenfinancial.net, and we'll see how we can help you out.
There you go. Ted Jenkins, Oxygen Financial.